Praise God, praise God, praise God. God is good. God is good. Everybody knows by now, because Phil graciously let you all know I've had a gripey tummy. But it's getting less gripey as we carry on praising God. Amen. Isn't God good? I was lying. I went out for a little lie down out there, and who should come in but Dr. Jenny, bless her heart. And she said, let the doctor lay her hand upon you. So she did. And I've had several hands laid on me today. Glory be to God. So I should be pretty fit. Amen. And we're talking about forgetting those things which are behind and pressing on to those things that are before. Amen. As you get older, there's a couple of things that you need to know and that I've found out as you get older. One is that you tend to forget things. The other is, a pastor visited an elderly lady, and he thought it was time he really confronted her with the gospel and talked to her about the hereafter and if she was okay. He knocked at her door, and she answered the door, and she said, God bless you, sister. I've come this morning. I feel it's time I really had a heart-to-heart talk to you about the hereafter. She said, oh, pastor, come in. She said, I think about the hereafter all the time. He said, that's great. She said, yeah. She said, I get up in the morning, go down to the kitchen, and say to myself, what am I hereafter? Does that happen to you? That happens to you. I'm in the kitchen, I go, something comes into my mind, and I go into another room, and I think, what on earth have I come in here for? Go back to where I started, think it through again. It always comes back to me. Praise God. God is good. Amen. And we have been going through the book of Philippians and concentrating particularly on that hub verse, those couple of verses here in chapter 3 from verse 12 to verse 15 or verse 13. And not that I had already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has laid hold of me. Brethren, folks, brothers, sisters, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, this is the focus of my life, this is the desire of my heart, this is where I'm heading, this is where I'm focused. I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, we're concentrating on that this morning. I thought I would like to take in the whole chapter, considering that those key verses as the hub and branching out from there. Thank God for His whole word. And this morning, I trust by His grace, we will draw water from the wells of salvation, and we will drink at the river that never runs dry. In Jesus' name, Father, we ask you to help us today as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, we pray for anointed lips to speak it, and anointed ears to receive it, and anointed hearts to determine to follow it. In the name of Jesus, amen. And all God's people said, amen. Well, praise God. Praise God. Now, looking through the chapter, I've noted that there are just three directive imperatives. How many of you know what an imperative is? It's something that's imperative. It's something that we've got to do. It's something that is commanded. On this, in this whole chapter, there are just three like that. The first one is in verse 3, where Paul says, finally, finally, great word for a good preacher. We hear it many times. I remember one day when we went out to a meeting, or our kids went out to a meeting, and they came back home all excited. But I think it was Allison or one of the kids said to us, you know, Dad, she said, the preacher, he said, finally, eight times. So when you hear finally, don't believe it. Even Paul comes up with another one in chapter 4 where he says, finally, brethren, again. So don't worry about that. But here he says, finally, actually, it's a word to underscore what he's going to say. It's an important word. It's an imperative. It is more than just advice. He says, finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. That is what he's telling us to do this morning, church. Rejoice in the Lord. And then the rest, the main body of the chapter, is taken up with his own experience, which he writes to us as an encouragement. Rejoice in the Lord, he says. And then he goes on after verse 3, talking about himself and his own experience. And then we have the next imperative is in the actually the next verse. The first one is, rejoice in the Lord. And the next one is quite stern, quite startling. Not quite sure how to look at it or handle it. Beware of dogs. Beware of dogs. Wow. What do you think of that? The next one, after a whole testimony that he gives, talking about himself, saying about what he's learned, talking about his own experience, his own determination, his own trust in the Lord. Praise God. He goes right through to coming near the end of the chapter. And the next imperative, the next thing he wants to impress upon this lovely, happy church to which he's writing, verse 17, brethren, join in following my example. Join in following my example. And so we have those three imperatives before us as we look into this chapter. And they are imperatives that are going to help us continue on our journey as we press on individually and as we press on as a fellowship, pressing on in the things of God. How many of us here this morning want to press on with Jesus? Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Let's give the Lord a clap of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not easy to forget everything. If you're like me, you forget the things you need to remember and remember the things you need to forget. There are some things that I never forget. Let's face it. Forgetting those things that are behind. Wow, that's not easy. That's not easy. I choke up sometimes when I think of things that have happened in the past. I think of the first time we took our little boy, Lloyd. He's now nearly 60. Goodness gracious me. And the first time we took him to boarding school when he was 6 years old, he was going to be there for 3 months. It was out in the middle of Africa during our missionary service there. And I remember driving down. Those Dutch zeros took us 3 days to get there. And taking him in and then saying goodbye to him. We were late arriving at the school. They'd already started the classes. And the head teacher there said, it's all right, we've got his desk. We got everything ready. Just come. We got out of the car. We got out of the car. We took his little case into the dormitory where he was going to be. We saw the bed where he was going to lie. And then we took him to the classroom. And the teacher said, we'll just take him into the classroom and then you go. We took him into the classroom. He sat down at his desk and we went. I will never, ever forget that moment. And I made a vow in my life, Lord, I'm never going to do this again to any of our kids. We're going to make a little bit more when we say bye-bye to them at boarding school. We just went. How many of you in your lives have had things that you will never forget? Never forget. Let's face it, it's not easy to forget everything because our lives are a mixture of good things and bad things. Do you agree? Our lives are a mixture of good things and bad things and mediocre things, things that have happened to us. But the Word of God tells us, blessed be God, to forget those things that are behind. Paul is not forgetting everything himself. He's not forgetting the time you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and he speaks about some of the things that have happened to him. He has not forgotten them. Been beaten 5 times by the Jews, 40 stripes, beaten with rods, stoned, 3 times shipwrecked, day and night in the deep, in journeys, in perils, in robbers, perils from my own countrymen, perils of the Gentiles, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren. He's not forgetting these things that have happened to him. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, cold and nakedness. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is made to stumble? And I do not burn with indignation. If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. Paul's pressing on in spite of the fact that he went through so many trials and so many experiences. And the fact is, folks, yeah, praise God, he was able to say, chapter 1 of Philippians and verse 12, the things which happened to me have turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Praise God. Praise God. And I absolutely believe with all my heart that whatever has happened to us, and some of us have been through some pretty rough moments, but praise God for his grace. Hallelujah. And those things, we may not have seen it at the time, those things which happened to us have turned out for the furtherance of the grace of God and our love for him in our lives. So Paul is not blanking out everything that's happened in his life. He's giving his testimony and how he has reached where he is and how he intends continuing reaching out to those things that are before. I believe that these three imperatives this morning are going to help us press on. Amen. 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 Going to help us press on. Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. We used to sing with great gusto, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And again I say, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. I want to look upon this as hindsight. Hindsight. Looking back into our lives, we don't forget everything. We don't forget everything. My first, if you like, thing I'd like to say about this is if we're going to press on, if we are going to press on to the completion of God's plan and purpose in our lives, we need to have grateful hearts. We say amen to that. Amen. If we're going to make it, if we're going to come through future difficulties, like by the grace of God, we've come through past difficulties, we're going to need to have grateful hearts. This is not just a simple, happy disposition, but it is a focused joy and gratitude for the fact that whatever has happened to us in the past, we are here today. Turn to someone and say, praise God, I'm here today. Praise God, I'm here today. By the grace of God, I am here today. We've gone through the storm, but we haven't been drowned. Hey, we've gone through the waters, but they didn't overflow us. We've gone through the fire, but it didn't burn us. We got a little bit wet at times. We may have been a bit scorched, but we have survived the storm and we've survived the fire by the grace of God. I'm rejoicing in Him and I'm pressing on because my heart is full of gratitude for what He's done for me in the past. And we have learned through those experiences the great truth of the Word of God, that all things we know and we've come to know and we're continuing to know and we'll always know that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. Paul had a long list of things he could look back on and say, yeah, all this has happened to me. But here he's saying to us, rejoice in the Lord. And that is our rejoicing. Our rejoicing is in the Lord. For me to live, he says, is Christ. For me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. I'm a winner anyway, whatever happens. I'm more than a conqueror. Blessed be God. What is more than a conqueror? It's not reaching the end of our race completely exhausted, tired out, and whacked out, saying, I never want to go through that again. Being more than a conqueror is feeling that you could keep running another mile or two. Praise God. Woo! Oh, my gripey tummy's going, fading away. Glory be to God. We can go on in spite of gripey tummies. Amen. Amen. If you've got a gripey tummy this morning, there's hope in the Lord. Glory. Glory. What he's saying is, it hasn't been my natural attainments that have seen me through. It hasn't been my academics. It wasn't his certificate or degree from Gamaliel's university that saw him through. It wasn't his physical, absolutely certainly not, strength that saw him through. It was his personal relationship with Jesus. It was the vision that had been implanted in his heart. It was the hope that he had received. It was his changed life when he met with Jesus. It was the spiritual dimension of his life, folks, that saw him through. And we have to have that strong spiritual dimension because it's not the natural things. Paul says we have no confidence in the flesh. He said, I was stock of Israel. What a qualification. Both his mom and dad were Jews, Israelites. He said, I've got racial perfection in his mind. That would have been a tremendous qualification. He says, I am of the stock of Israel. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. That was something. Benjamin was the tribe that aligned itself to Judah during the rebellion way back in the Old Testament under King Rehoboam, when ten tribes rebelled, went up north, became Israel. But Judah stayed down in the south and remained true to the teachings, the word of God. Quite an interesting story to go into when he says, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. Stay true to the tradition, stay true to the holy things of God. Light himself up with Judah, the praising tribe, the victorious tribe. Send Judah first and the battle will be won. He said, I'm part of that. I'm so pure. I've got a lot going for me in the natural. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. A lot of the Jewish folks at this time, particularly in Philippi, it was mainly a Grecian culture, and a lot of the Hebrews, a lot of the Jewish people had taken on Greek culture, and they'd compromised their Jewishness, and they'd believed in the Grecians. Paul said, I haven't done that. I've stayed true to the law. That's why he says, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. There's nothing diluted my Hebrewness. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm of the stock of Israel. These things in the natural qualify me for status. But it was none of those things. Those are the things that he's laying aside. Those are the things that he is forgetting. Those are the things, these things that were gain to me, I've counted but loss for Jesus Christ. And it's not our academic. We need it today. We need those qualifications today. If you're going to get into a good job, you need it. But as far as your spiritual life is concerned, as far as your pressing on in God is concerned, it's your spiritual foundation that's going to see you through. There is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's nothing of a natural nature that's going to keep us pressing on. And if we're going to keep pressing on, we need to understand the spiritual dimension of our lives. Yeah, hindsight. We may have done some things differently. May not have made the mistakes I have made. But also with the same hindsight, I can rejoice in his grace, and that by his mercies, hallelujah, that are new every morning, I'm here today in this terrific fellowship with you terrific people, and even with a gripey tummy, praising God Almighty. Let's give the Lord a clap of praise today and bless him for his goodness. Oh my, oh my. So if I'm going to press on, I need to rejoice in the Lord and have a grateful heart. But what about this beware of dogs? Oh my. Lord, do I have to talk about this? Yes, you do. I Googled, what would be the danger signs in a church today? What would we need to beware of today? We don't have today a bunch of guys from the local Messianic synagogue, Messianic Jews bursting in here one day and saying, all you guys have got to be circumcised. That would be pretty messy. That would be startling. If you want to be a true Christian, if you really want to be accepted by God, it's not enough to just believe in Jesus, but you've got to be circumcised. Oh, my. But that is exactly what was happening here. That is what Paul refers to when he says, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. We don't have that same danger today. When I Googled what would be the warnings or the warnings of the danger, man alive, there was pages of it, pages of it, pages of it, pages of it. Warnings. And although that particular circumstance that Paul was warning against is not applicable today in that sense, there are things that we need to be warned about and be careful of. And I call this insight, hindsight, rejoicing in the Lord. Insight, looking into my heart and being aware of any sign of anything that could be a hindrance to my progress with the Lord. Amen. Amen. Psalm 139. Verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there's any unclean way in me, and lead me in the way of life everlasting. There may be trouble ahead, but where there's music and moonlight and dancing and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. We can't live our lives like that. We can't say there may be trouble ahead, but let's just turn up the music. Have a good time. Everything's okay, because I'm here to tell you it's not okay. There are dangers. There are dangers can pop up in our lives. And frequently, I want to recommend this morning that we do a personal audit and we look into our hearts and we come before God and we ask Him if we're not aware, make me aware today of any weight that's holding me back. Lord, I want to press on. Examine ourselves. So if we're going to press on with God, we need to be able to examine ourselves, recognize a warning light when we see it. We got a new Land Rover in the Congo Dominion, and we didn't get the handbook to it. We just came, and we drove it around for a long, long time, and this little red light came up on the dashboard. Little, I think it was a yellowish light. What does that mean? Fred Ramsbottom, a senior missionary, he didn't know. I don't know what it means. He didn't know what it meant. One day he got a great idea. We don't know what it means. He stripped down the dashboard and took out the bulb. That's true. Problem fixed. No more flashing light, no more warning. One day we're out on a trip and we wondered why the brakes didn't work. When we got the handbook, we found out it was a warning light to say the brake fluid was getting low. What about your life and my life? Ever had a warning light come on? The time you spend doing this, the time you spend doing that, the less time you spend seeking God, the more time we give to natural things, the less time we give to spiritual things. Is there a little light flashing in your life today? It flashes in mine. Search me, O God. Search me, O God. Seeds of doubt, spiritual pride, inflexibility, fear, busyness. Busyness. Oh, God Almighty, everybody's busy today. Busy, 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 busy. In fact, we worry if we're not busy. You ring up somebody on the phone, they answer the phone, they're out of breath. They're out of breath. They're busy, bam! Take off in their car and leave half their tires burned out on the tarmac. I don't know why people rush up to traffic lights when they're red, thinking when they're green, thinking I could get through before they turn red, and push on their brakes at the last minute when they turn red. Busy, 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 busy. Moving on, what's the answer? What's the answer? Don't ignore the signs. Take heart, because you're a child of God. Paul says, yes, there are dangers, but we are God's people, the true circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit, who rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Brother, sister, just like me, says Paul, you got a lot going for you. Don't be deceived by the opposition telling you that you'll never make it or that you'll need some painful surgery to make you feel good. You've got what it takes because Jesus is living in your heart. We are of the true circumcision. Hallelujah. Jesus bore the pain. Jesus died for us. And we are sanctified unto him and unto God, his people. Press on. Paul says, I don't have everything and I am not yet perfect, but I press on. I don't know everything, but this one thing I do, I let what's gone behind stay behind and I reach out to those things that are ahead. And then he says, follow my example. Follow me as I follow Christ. And I call this foresight. Will you remember these three points this morning? Hindsight, insight, and foresight. Praise God for each one of them. Hallelujah. Follow me as I follow Christ. Follow my example. That word example in Greek, it's typos, typos, typing, typos. It's not the typo that we make a mistake. It's the action of the hitting the paper and leaving an imprint, the stamp, bam, on your life. He leaves a stamp on your life, an example, a typos. It's the blow. Paul had a mark. He said, my life has been marked. Follow the marking that Christ has made in my life. Follow my example. Christ has made a mark on me. I'm a marked man. I'm not just a natural man following natural ambitions with natural results, but I'm a spiritual man following spiritual ambitions with spiritual results. Wow. Wow. Glory be to God. NIV says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us a model, keep your eyes on those things. Keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Let's press on together, brothers and sisters, this morning, and keep looking towards the goal. We have a choice to be ordinary or extraordinary, to be natural or spiritual, to be earthly-minded or heavenly-minded. And so the chapter closes, beginning at verse 16, with that exhortation, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained where we're at now, the level where you're at right now in your spiritual life, let us walk by the same rule. Don't be scared of the word rule. Rule. There are rules. There is a line. There is a standard. There is a measure that the Word of God makes plain to us. And let us be of the same mind by the grace of God. Hindsight, rejoicing in the Lord. Hallelujah. Insight, being aware of our situation, things that could hinder us. And foresight, pressing on towards the prize. None of us are free from things that we would rather forget. And yet God has chosen us. God has chosen us. Blessed be God. He hasn't chosen us because we're strong. He's chosen us because we're weak. The Word of God says so. He's chosen the weak things of this world. Chosen the weak things of this world. Things that are nothing, nobody's. She wants to make us somebody's. Glory be to God. Hasn't chosen us because we could handle life. He's chosen us because we couldn't handle life without him. You can't handle your life without him. And bless God, he's never given up on us. He has never given up on us. It's by grace we are saved. And every one of us has a place in God's great plan of redemption, salvation, and healing. That's why we are not going to give up by God's grace. We're going to press on. Amen? We're going to press on. And when anything hinders our faith and our joy and our fellowship, we're going to let our Father's love and joy and peace and forgiveness fill our lives by his grace. Shall we stand together? Mighty God, as we close our fellowship service together today, we commit ourselves afresh to each other. We commit ourselves to you. We present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. That is our reasonable service. And we bless you, mighty God, for what you've done for us in the past, what you're doing for us in the present, and what you're going to use us for in the future, because our citizenship is in heaven. We know where we're coming from. We know what we are now, and we know where we're going by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.